feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul. For I knew my Lord had control. And I knew I was walking in the light. For I'd been on my knees in the night. And I prayed till the Lord gave me sight. And now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I got heaven on my mind. Jesus all the time, and we're walking and talking as we climb, and he tells me a home will be mine when I reach the other side. He's been telling me all about that land, and he tells me that everything is grand, and I know that he's holding my hand, and now I'm feeling mighty fine.
Well, I'm feeling mighty fine.
Be finding in God's precious book, His Holy Word, Daniel, the third chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. And as you find that, if you would rise to your feet as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselor, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, as we come to this message today, Lord, it is a message where our God is going to show us how to stand alone with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this text teaches. And there's not a greater lesson, Father, that needs to be learned in the world in which we're living than this one, to stand alone with Jesus Christ. For the simple fact that every man, woman, or child who has repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is a twice-born person living in a once-born world, and that means a Christian is going to be up against it most of the time. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that this message today would draw us ever nearer to Jesus Christ as we see the day of the rapture approaching. Father, may you have your will and your way with those who are watching online this morning. Lord, may you have your will and your way with all of us who are here this morning. Father, may the will of the Lord be done. We pray for those who are yet without Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would come to know what Nebuchadnezzar came to know, that there is no other God but the God in heaven, and his name is Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It is in that name that we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, at whose name one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, we're going to conclude the message we began last week here this morning, and I just want you to know that as we move closer to the time of the rapture, that Christians the world over are going to discover more and more, and I think if you are awake in this world today, you've already are well aware that it is necessary for Christians to stand up and to speak up in this day and age in which we live, because in this world, Christians are going to be up against it most of the time. And as we spoke about last week, we're going to face emotional enticement. We're going to face social inducement. We're going to face governmental enforcement. We're going to face spiritual defilement. It's everywhere in this world today. And so wherever you are, it is in your world. That's what's happening today, and so as a child of God, we're going to be up against it, and we must learn to stand up against it. And today, we're going to discover Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we can learn some lessons from them that I hope that will apply to our own lives. I want you to remember something that we spoke about last week, and something that's very important to hang on to. When you stand alone with the Lord Jesus Christ and you stand up for what Jesus Christ stands for, you are going to face the world's fury. Amen? And so I just want to begin by looking at here this morning the faith that they followed. What was it that enabled these three men to stand alone? The reason we need to ask this is because these are the things that you and I are going to have, and we're going to have them in the only place that matters, right here in our hearts. And we're going to have to teach them. We're going to have to teach them to our children, to our grandchildren, in the hopes that they will embrace the values of Christian values, the value of the Bible, the value of Jesus, that they'll embrace it in their own heart. And I want you to note here the spirit of the Antichrist. I wondered if you picked up on it as I was reading. Note the contempt that Nebuchadnezzar has for God when he says, "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Well, here's where it gets really good, friends. Look at verse 16 again in your Bible, and I pray you've kept it open. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" In other words, what they're saying is, "Listen, king, we don't got to study about it. We're not worried about it. We don't even have to ponder it. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter." Look at verses 17 and 18. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I want to talk to you for just a moment about what probably the average carnal Christian living in America would say to somebody who might be in the position of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's how I kind of figure the conversation might go. "Now, boys, you in a tight spot. You in a tight spot. I mean, your faith is about to be cast into the fire. So let me tell you what you need to do. Listen to me now. Here's what you need to do. When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians. Go along to get along. I mean, after all, it'd be a whole lot better for you to compromise just a little bit here and a little bit there, and you can live a little bit longer. And if you live a little bit longer, you can do some more good. And you don't need to be stubborn. Oh, don't stand up for what God says in his word. Just sit on down there now. Just compromise. After all, don't you know Christians are supposed to go along just to get along? Isn't that been the message of the world for a long time now? These men didn't do it. And we're not to do it. So we need to find out, how did they not do it? It's because of the faith they had. And I want you to understand, I want you to notice three things about the faith they followed. Number one, it was a settled faith. Look again at verse 16, if you will. They said, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to get in a holy huddle. We don't have to ponder about it. We don't have to say, 'Now, king, give me a night to sleep on it.'" Here's what I believe. I believe these boys had already been in a revival meeting. I believe these boys had listened to the preaching of Jeremiah before the southern kingdom of Judah was carried off by the Babylonians. I believe they'd been in a revival. I believe their hearts were set on what God says here in his word. As I said last week, it's not about politics, friends. It is about God's word. It's about Christian values. It's about standing up for what God's word says. It's about living these values out. They'd been in a revival meeting. You see, when you read the Bible, you're going to know what's right. You listen to this world, you're going to wonder what's right. But when you read the Bible, you will know what is right. And so we need to read the Bible so that we know what is right. And they already knew what is wrong. You see, that's what's so wonderful about the Bible. The Bible tells you what's right, and the Bible tells you what's wrong. And we're living in a world today that wants to tell us that bad things, evil, is good, and that good things is evil. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible is our standard. The Bible is the book that we listen to. The Bible and the values that the Bible teaches is where we need to be found. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." They knew what to do. There was a faith. And so I just want to share with you something Adrian Rogers said. How many of you know Adrian Rogers or knew of Adrian Rogers? Raise your hand here this morning. Adrian Rogers was a good preacher. And this is what Adrian Rogers said about Christians in the world today. He said, "There are too many of you spending too much time trying to make up your mind what you're going to do about this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing." He said, "One of the greatest decisions I learned in my life is one big decision will keep you from having to make a lot of little ones. Just make one big one." And then when the Nebuchadnezzars of the world say, "What are you going to do?" you say, "Hey, I don't have to think about it. I already know what to do. I've got God's word on it." And I just want to encourage our young people today to get into the word of God so that you'll have God's word on it, and then you won't need to listen to what Facebook, social media, the media on television, fake news, and all that other junk has to say. God has already said it in his word. Their faith was a settled faith. And their faith was also a strong faith. I want you to look again at verse 17. They said, verse 17. And they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Now they said, our God is able. And you'd better believe that. Our God is able. I don't care what impossible situation you may be dealing with today. Do you know that God can do the impossible? God can do what we cannot do. Our God is more than able. And when the Nebuchadnezzars of the world say, "Who is that God that shall deliver you?" you'd better believe that there is a God in the Bible who said, "Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, I will." That's the word of a holy God. And a holy God will deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us through the fire, he'll deliver us in the fire. But you can rest assured that our God is going to deliver us. You know, B.B. McKinney wrote a song many years ago, and I'm not going to try to sing it this morning. Have faith in God. He's on the throne. Have faith in God. He watches over own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Their faith was a settled faith. It was a strong faith, and it was a steadfast faith. Look again at verse 18, because there's something very interesting here. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now, God is able to deliver us. We don't have any doubt about that. But if not, we're not going to serve your gods. We're not going to worship your image. Now, what does "if not" mean? Does it mean if God is not able? Not at all. Does it mean if God does not deliver us? No, that's not what it means either. It means if in this situation we be turned to bacon, if when you throw us like chips of wood into that burning fiery furnace and we're consumed, if that's the way it works out, fine. We're still not going to bow down and worship your God, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, friends, understand something. They don't have any doubt. about God's power to deliver. That's not the point of this at all. It may happen that God in his sovereignty wants these boys to die in the fire. But let me ask you a question. You think about your faith. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does your faith have an if not clause in it? Our God is able to deliver us. We all like that. We all believe that. But if he doesn't, are you still going to serve and worship him? We're getting down to where the rubber meets the road of the Christian faith. You jot these verses down so you can look them up later. I'd encourage you to look them up later. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 39. There's something very important here for us to grasp when it comes to standing alone, because the truth is, all of us are like the story of these three men in the burning fiery furnace today. With all that's going on, critical race theory, the LGBTQIA plus agenda, the government enforcement is behind to be forced, everybody trying to squeeze everybody into one little mold. And you all know that's true, amen? Well, so we're with them. We're in that fiery furnace today. What's going to happen if you go along to get along? What's going to happen? Do you realize if you go along to get along, you're denying Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ stands against all that stuff? Do you realize the Bible stands against what the world is trying to promote? And if you go along with the world, you're just denying your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What's going to happen, friend, if you don't stand up for what you believe in? I just want to share with you, we all love the part that God is able, but do you have an if not clause? And so listen now, what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violent of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. And if we just stopped right there, everybody say, sign me up. Most everybody say, sign me up. We like that. We just read victory after victory after victory. But it doesn't end there. It's the end others. And oh boy, it's the end others that's going to get you right now. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Friend, if God doesn't get you what you want, he's going to give you something better than you want. Amen? And you better listen. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. And someone might be thinking, well, they were just put in prison for a little bit and then they got out. No. Look at verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. God says these all got an A on their report card of faith. Yet, they were not delivered in the way in which you and I think that we ought to be delivered. These three Hebrew boys, they knew. They said, our God is able and our God is going to deliver us. But he may not keep us out of your fiery furnace, and we're still not going to bow down. It's okay if you throw us in. We will not bow down. And boy, I tell you, if there is ever a message for our world today, that's the message that needs to be, that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are not going to bow down to the gods of this age. And that's just the way it's got to be. That's how I read the Bible. That's how I interpret the Bible. It's what the Bible says. And so, how many of you would agree with me this morning? It is one thing to have faith to escape and another thing to have faith to endure. I want you to think about this, because it's one thing to have faith to escape. It's another thing to have faith to endure. It's one thing to be sick and not be healed and still praise God. It's one thing to be sick and have the faith that you're going to be healed. But to be sick and not be healed and still praise God, friend, how many of you would agree that takes greater faith? Amen? And the Bible says these by faith received an A+ on their report card. They received a report. Well, let's think about that for just a minute, because one day we know if the rapture comes, we get to avoid the middleman. We go right with the upper taker. Hallelujah, amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to see the undertaker. I want to see the upper taker. I just as soon avoid going down and having Terry or Jerry dress me. I'm looking for heaven, amen. I hope you are too. But should we die in this life, we're going to walk through a valley and we're going to stand face to face before the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? We all want that, amen? Then we better learn how to endure. We better learn how to endure. It's one thing to be delivered, and it's another thing to die, and it's all by faith. And so there better be an if not clause in your faith as well. Our God is able to deliver us. And if He doesn't deliver us, it's not because He cannot. You read in the New Testament where James was put in prison by Herod. And Herod had James's head cut off. You read that Peter was put in prison and God delivers Peter out of the prison. Therefore, God could have delivered James out of the prison, but He did not deliver James, but He did deliver Peter. And why? Well, you can ask Him when you get
home today. Please stay tuned as Pastor Don lets you know how you can become a child of the one true King.
Sisters, as you've listened to our message tonight, you've heard the Word of God preached. And we pray that you would respond to God's Word. God says His Word never goes out void. It always goes out with intent, and the intent is to reach the heart of men and women and children, just like all of y'all who've listened tonight. I wonder, as you've listened, did God prick your heart? Did God speak to you tonight? And if He did, you need to respond. Perhaps you've never come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that describes you tonight, you might want to pray a prayer such as this. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I cannot save myself, but Father, you have said that you gave your one and only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay the price for my sin. Lord, tonight I am coming, repenting of my sin, and I am putting my faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, wash me of my sins and cleanse me. Save me. And I want to thank you for saving me, Jesus. In your name I pray, amen. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to know that God has indeed, in Jesus Christ, saved you from your sins. Heaven is now your home. You no longer have to worry about hell. But if you made a decision tonight to receive Christ as your Savior, would you please contact us here at the church? There are various ways you can do that on the screen. Also, if you're a Christian tonight and you have strayed, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You just tell God all about it.
and God will take care of you. Thank you again for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week.